Morning, this Monday morning. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2967.
Actually, we do not have 45 people.
Did you get 45?
Is this going to be a little fun?
So we can't do the work session?
Right.
Okay.
So we can talk about it.
We can.
All right. We can do the action.
Right. But we can do the testimony.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I am opening the work session on 2967. We'll call J.L. Wilson.
You can just punch stuff out of here today.
Morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, J.L. Wilson, representing NFIB, chief proponent of House Bill 2967. The reason it's back before you today is that it starts, every time you pass the bill, it starts raining pistols. And so the Department of Human Services indicated a $411,000 fiscal. The Dash 3 amendments do two things. It exempts the Department of Human Services from the bill, thereby eliminating the last egregious fiscal. And I have no problem with doing that whatsoever. And second, it makes the definition of small business consistent with other places in statute, which I found the number actually buried in another piece of statute, which was 50, a small business defined as a business with 50 employees or less, and I amended the 100 employees down to 50 employees to make that consistent throughout statute. So that is the Dash 3 amendments before you. It should take care of all outstanding problems. If it does not, I will even lose interest in my own bill.
Well, you've worked hard on this, JL. I appreciate you trying to make sure the fiscal is as low as possible.
Representative
Pitts.
JL, just one question. My only concern, and you can address the concern right here now with your question, is are you having to dilute the bill down so much that it's not going to effectively do what you want it to do is part A, and part B is maybe a fiscal is not a bad thing on something like this that just simply requires state agencies to know what they're doing and the impact that it's going to have on those of us out there that do own and operate and run small businesses that actually create the jobs in this state.
Thank you. Chair Close and Representative Kitts. The dilution of the bill really happened with the Dash 2 amendments as far as the judicial review part, but the bill still accomplishes what I want it to do, and the fact that agencies suggest that it does take some manpower to go over these rules, and that fiscal is counterbalanced by eliminating the three-year rule review at the back end. The fact that it does look like it will take some dollars for them to do. And do their homework on the front end. That's all I'm asking for. That was all I was ever asking for from the beginning. And if you can get there in a politically feasible way, which means getting rid of the fiscal impacts, I think you've got to go there. So I personally wouldn't be interested in this bill if I didn't think it accomplished what I wanted it to, and just by virtue of the fact that I'm going forward with it suggests that I think it does what I want it to do.
Okay. Other questions? Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move.
Actually, excuse me. Madam Chair, we need to suspend the rules to duck out of it.
I apologize.
And also, on the Dash 3 amendments we have before today, it refers to the Department of Human Resources, and it is no longer the Department of Human Resources, it's Services, so we'd have to make a conceptual amendment to the amendments if we were to move those today.
Okay, let's do that.
You want to move Madam Chair, I would move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2967.
Representative Kitts moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2967. Are there objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I would move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2967 was sent to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2967 was sent to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. Are there objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I would move we reconsider the vote by which the Dash 1 amendments were adopted in the House Bill 2967.
That's Dash 2.
I'm sorry?
That's Dash 2, I'm sorry.
You've asked two amendments were adopted to House Bill 2967.
Representative Kitts moves that we reconsider the vote by which the dash two amendments were adopted into House Bill 2967. Are there objections?
Good morning.
Seeing none, so ordered.
So
now we have the original bill.
All right.
The dash threes.
Do we have
Do we have an unamended bill? There's been nothing put in at this point.
Correct.
Okay.
But
all right, now we have to do the conceptual, right?
Madam Chair, I would move that we conceptually amend the amendment to read Department of Human Services, delete the word resources and implement services where applicable.
Okay, on lines 6 and 9.
Yes.
Representative Kitts moves that we amend conceptually the dash 3 amendment on lines 6 and 9, cross out resources and put services, so we'll read human services. Is there objection to that amendment? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kitts.
I would move the dash 3 amendments as amended into House Bill 2967.
Representative Kitts moves the dash 3 amendments as amended into House Bill 2967. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kitts.
I would move House Bill 2967 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves House Bill 2967 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really think JL deserves the most determined lobbyist in the building award for persistence in pursuing this bill. And so, and recognition of that, I will gladly support this today.
I agree, Representative Rosenbaum. Other discussion? Okay. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Gallagher.
Aye.
Representative Berard.
Aye.
Representative Berkley.
Aye.
Representative Dockler.
Excuse.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Chair
Clark. Both aye.
Motion carries. And was I the carrier on that one?
Mary was last
Mary.
Time.
And Representative Gallegos will carry the bill. Okay. And we'll close the work session. Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 603 and welcome Daryl Fuller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Daryl Fuller. I represent the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. Last week I brought an assistant. This week I brought the boss. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi. Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cassie Fuller. I'm 6 years old, and I go to kindergarten at Englewood.
Well, welcome. Appreciate you coming.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 603 is amended as a fairly technical bill. There is a statute that requires auto dealers to pay off loans on vehicles when we take them into our inventory within 15 days. That law is intended to be a consumer protection law, so if you trade in a vehicle in which you have a loan on it, we have to pay off the lien on that vehicle within 15 days so you don't keep getting your loan statement every month after you turn the car over to a dealership. We found out a couple of years ago that the way the statute was written is it affected all vehicles taken into a dealer's inventory. So we amended the law a couple of sessions ago on dealer-to-dealer transactions because when we purchase a vehicle from another dealer, we don't actually pay them until they give us a title. We don't pay them when we get the vehicle. We wait until they actually give us the title, and that encourages the selling dealer to get the clear title to us as quickly as possible. So we created an exception for dealer-to-dealer sales. Then the Department of Justice decided after that that since it was broadly written that when we accept a vehicle from our manufacturer, Ford Motor Company sends a new car to Ford dealer, that we would have to pay off that vehicle within 15 days. Well, if new car dealers had to pay off their entire new car inventories from the time that they get them, it would essentially put all of them out of business because we sell our new cars, and a lot of our used cars, and the used car industry do this as well, we do them under what's called a flooring agreement where we actually pay interest on the value of the vehicle until the vehicle is sold. And so we don't actually pay for the vehicle until it leaves our inventory. And so this creates another exception for what they call inventory financing agreements, where the dealer is the debtor. That if we have a relationship with a financial institution or the manufacturer, where they're actually holding the note on the vehicle until we pay it, that is not subject to the 15-day payoff. This has been through DMV and DOJ. There's no consumer protection or problems with the titling and registration process. Again, this is simply conforming to the statute to what has always been the practice that dealers have had. And until we got an AAG opinion last year, we weren't aware that the statute as written implicated flooring agreements, because we've had them as long as we've had car dealerships, and the statute just it had never been interpreted that way before. Be glad to answer any questions you have.
Daryl, you have on your testimony that Mr. Campbell will support the bill. Will he be testifying?
If he's not here, Madam Chair, then I assume probably not. The manufacturers, again, support this because they provide the flooring to the dealerships. And he did, if I recall correctly, testify in favor of it on the Senate side.
Okay. Questions? Representative Merkley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Daryl, could you address the change in the clause addressing campers, vehicle and camper to another dealer?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, can you point me directly to where you're at?
Page 2, line 37.
Madam Chair, Representative Merkley, the way the statute is written, and this doesn't, I think adding camper in is because it was simply not included last time and should have been, because campers are not considered a motor vehicle, although they are sold in the same way and they are titled in the same way as a motor vehicle. You get a plate for your camper, and since it doesn't fall under the definition of a motor vehicle, they added that in just for clarity's sake.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Okay. Cassie, is there anything you'd like to say about the bill?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this bill has consent calendar written all over it.
Well, Cassie, I'm glad you can read, because I don't see it, but I'm a little blind. Okay, that concludes our testimony on Senate Bill 603A. I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 603A.
Madam Chair,
Representative Rosenbaum.
I move Senate Bill 603A to the floor with a duplex recommendation and the excellent suggestion that the bill be placed on the consent calendar.
Representative Rosenbaum moves Senate Bill 603A to the floor to be placed on the consent calendar. At the recommendation of Cassie. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Is excused.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. What's the work session?
Shame.
And they're not ready.
Right.
No. How can that be if they weren't here already written?
Well, because they have to take out what was put in there so we can put it in. So we have to take out.
But the other ones were already written.
Yeah.
Because the Dutch ones were somebody's.
Bless you.
What you wait to pay in there.
I remember. Okay, committee, Senate Bill 341 had the wrong amendments put in it in the Senate. And so I had hoped it would be very easy to just put the right ones back in. Mm-hmm. However, those amendments apparently are not ready, so we are not going to hear that bill. I don't believe anybody is here on Senate Bill 534. We'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone here that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 534? You want to come forward? We got lots of time.
Good Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Tom Olson, Administrator of the Child Care Division, and we have no problems with Senate Bill 534. I was amended on the other side, and we were fine with it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Will you stay for questions, please? And Megan, can you read the summary so we'll know exactly what it says?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 534A creates exemption from definition of child care for a person who is a member of a child's extended family as determined by the Child Care Division.
Thank you. And the Senate amendments. Can you tell us what the Senate did on that?
Sure, Madam Chair. The way the bill was originally written to specify that a person who has a special relationship with the child should be exempted from regulation by the Child Care Division, and it was amended to reflect that it's a member of a person's extended family, which the bill was written for a particular constituent, and this meets the needs of that constituent and the Senator.
I see. Thank you. Questions? Councilman Berkeley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just could you expand a little bit on the situation that occurs when divorce or death severs the legal relationship? I mean, in divorce is maybe a little clear, but how does death sever a legal relationship? Grandparent still a grandparent and so on and so forth?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes. If there's a blood or familial relationship to the fourth degree, those persons are considered exempt. If, in fact, it's removed, and in fact, this particular case, if I recall, it was an ex-daughter-in-law who had a child by another man. But the ex-daughter-in-law was very close to the woman who was providing child care to the rest of the family members. But under our current statute, the way it's written, we could not exempt that child because it's a blood relationship. And so Senator George proposed to expand that a little bit to recognize the different sorts of family arrangements that exist nowadays. And we believe that was a fair thing to do.
Thank you.
Representative Gallegos.
Can you put this into context in what cases this definition will be used? Maybe a little bit more about that case so I can understand what or why. I mean,
Madam Chair, Representative Gallegos, it was an interesting case, and I guess in my 5 years here, I have not really come up with a situation that quite matched this. But it's a situation where we feel that children who are part of a family should be exempt from any sort of regulation by the Child Care Division. Under our exemptions, you can care for as many family members as you want, or you can care for as many children from the same family as you want and still be exempt. But the way the regulations are currently written, it's to exempt people who are basically related by blood. And so there's, of course, the entire legal relationship that is completely apart and away from the blood relationship. Like in the case that I just described, this is a person who there was no blood relationship. It was an ex-daughter-in-law, and the child was not by the provider's family member. It was by another person. But there was a very close relationship still between the ex-daughter-in-law and the provider, and she considered that person to be part of her family. And in that case, like I say, I think it's about the only situation I can think of that we've ever come up with. But I can see it arising again. Like I say, the bounds or the boundaries around families have been extended considerably over my lifetime, and this recognizes that.
So I think you're telling me this has to do with professional child care, daycare providers, as opposed to just me getting a babysitter to go out in the evening.
Madam Chair, yes, it does, in fact, because babysitters are exempt to begin with. So these are people that provide professional child care. In Oregon, if you provide care to more than three children from more than one family, you're required to be registered. You can take as many of your family members into care as you would like. And that's the situation that's trying to be addressed here, is that this woman had a number of children in care. They were all from her own family, with the exception of this one little boy who should have been allowed to be an exempt child under the statute, or should be, I guess, under morally should be allowed to be an exempt child, because as far as he was concerned, he considered himself part of the family. The ex-daughter-in-law was considered part of the family. It's just a big, was just a big happy family, from what I can tell, that was interrupted by a divorce.
Okay, I think that answers the question.
And can you tell me, well, it says you'll do it by a case-by-case basis, so there would be a process by which you would determine this?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us what the process would be?
Well, the process would be that the person who goes out, the family child care specialist that would go out, and we have a whole exception process, and we can allow exceptions to our rules. And when it's allowed under statute, then the provider says, yes, I'd like to request an exception for this particular, to this particular rule or for this particular child. And then it's reviewed, and then it's talked about with a family child care specialist that deals with that family. And then a decision will be made with the supervisors involved whether or not it meets the intent of the way we try to write the statute.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 534. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 534. Representative Kitts.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 534 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves Senate Bill 534 to the floor as 534A to the floor at, with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Gerard.
Aye.
Representative
Berkley.
Aye.
Representative
Joplin. Is it excused?
Representative
Kent.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum. Aye. Both aye. Motion carries. And I'd like to tell everybody that Representative Schaffler is testifying in revenue so that we don't think that he just slacked off today. Okay. We'll have, let's see, Representative Rosenbaum. You want to share the bill? Close the work session on Senate Bill 534. Well, I apologize, Committee. I was ill on Friday, so we don't have a full workload. We just sort of did the best we could on this agenda, so we will need to come back on Wednesday. So if there's nothing else for the good of the committee, we are adjourned.